The other day, why Jesus? Actually, he asked me the question. I said, Father, where would you like me to go today? He said, I would like you to answer the question, why Jesus? Why did Jesus have to come? Why? What was it? What was the purpose of Jesus coming to the earth? Go with me, if you will. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise, and thank you for this opportunity. Your word. We thank you, I appreciate and teach you would not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but let it be a demonstration of spirit and power. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Move up and down each and every aisle. Touch each and every person right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, John chapter 10, verse 10 says this. It says, for the sake of time, I'm going to go there. It says, the thief, referring to your adversary, he comes not but for to kill, to steal, to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and they that might have life in abundance to the full and to overflows. So Jesus said, why did I come? So that you could have life in abundance to the full until it overflows. Well, why is it when I'm born in the earth, why would you need to come for me to have life in abundance to the full and to the overflow? Because there was a thief. And what that thief did is he went to steal, to kill, and destroy. And I'm going to show you where he did it at. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says this. And God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And let them have dominion. That word dominion there means authority. Let them have authority over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created in him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion. So God says, I want you to multiply. I want you to replenish. I want you to subdue the earth. And I want you to have authority over the fish of the air, the fowl of the fowl over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So that was God's instructions to the man after he had created man. So man had authority over all the earth. God had created heavens and he created the earth. God kept the heavens. He gave the earth to man. He says, just that's why we read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, where it says, thy will, kingdom come, your will be done in earth just like it is in heaven. Y'all see that, right? So God expected things on earth to operate just like they did in heaven. So what happened? That's how it all started. Isaiah 46 and 10 says how God declares the end from the very beginning. So if you want to see what's going to happen at the end, go back to the very beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He put man on the earth. Man had authority over the earth. In the end, if you go back and read in the book of Revelation, you will see how God recreated the heavens and the earth. There's going to be a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth. Man is going to be back on the earth, and he's going to operate just like he did in Genesis chapter 1. Y'all see that? Y'all with me so far? So why did Jesus, what that got to do with Jesus? Well, Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, I want to say it is verse number 7. It says this, and God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So now man's become a living person. Now, in verse 16, it says, verse 15 says, and the Lord took the man, and he put the man into the Garden of Eden. So when God originally created Adam, he did not create Adam in the Garden of Eden. He created Adam outside of the Garden of Eden, and then he placed him there. Do y'all see that significance of that? Many people believe God created Adam in the Garden of Eden. He did not. He created him outside the Garden of Eden, and he placed him there. That's a word for somebody today. Get where God placed you at, not where you want to. Somebody who's going to listen to this, that's going to bless them. And the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden And this is what he told him to do. He told him to dress it. That word dress means to cultivate. That's the exact same instructions that God gives man concerning his spouse. You are to cultivate or help her to become all that I've created her to be. And you're supposed to keep it. That word keep there means you are to guard her. You guard her physically, you guard her emotional, but you also guard her spiritually. You see that? So your responsibility is to cultivate and to guard. How do you cultivate her? Ephesians chapter 5 talks about how you wash her with the washing of the word of God so that she becomes all that God has called her to be. But what else did he tell him? He gave in a man a command. He said, of every tree of the garden of Eden, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest of it, you shall surely die. Now, that would tell you that it was never intended for man to ever die. The man never was supposed to die. Here, when he's talking about died, he's not talking about physical death, because Adam lived another 900 years before he ever physically died. This word died means to be separated from God. So the day that you eat of this fruit, or the day you violate this command, you will be separated from me. What is Adam in right now? He's in God's kingdom. He's in God's kingdom operation system. He's in God's way of doing things. But remember, he says, cultivate the garden, but guard it. What is he guarding it from? Remember, Lucifer had brought up this great rebellion in heaven, and as a result of him bringing up this great rebellion in heaven, he convinced a third of the angels to follow his foolishness. And if you go back to Isaiah chapter 14, I believe, where it says that he exalted himself, I want to exalt myself above the Most High God. I want to sit upon the throne. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that above God who created him. So he says, I'm going to exalt myself. If God said, "Not, don't get high off your own supply," he shot him down to earth. He was bound. He's bound to the earth. So what did he do? He's going around and he sees man as being created. So this is what he says. He sees that man has authority just like God. So what is he going to try to get? The authority. But he has to get the man to violate God's command in order to get the authority. Guess what? God, Satan can't just come in your life and just run ruckshire. You have to have given him an entrance by a decision that you made, words that you said, something you did or did not do. Do y'all see that? All right. So what happened? For sake of time, Genesis chapter 3. Remember, he said, keep guard it. He says, now, verse 1 says, now the serpent was more subtle than all any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? What is he doing? Trying to get her to consider something that God had already told her. He doesn't know, so he's going to ask the question. What does he go and say? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the tree. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God said, we should not eat of it. Now, if she'd have stopped right there, she'd have been quoting scripture, quoting what it is that God really said, but she added to it. Neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. God never said that. And I'm going to tell you why that part right there is so significant. And the serpent said unto the woman, you should not surely die. In other words, God lied to you. Anybody ever had God give them a word about a situation and then the devil come right back? I send somebody, I said, man, that ain't going to happen. I don't know. You stupid. Why you believe in that? I don't even know why you go to church. Man, you stupid. Jesus didn't bore your sin. You still a heathen just like me. Nope, not in this life. And God, and this is what he went on to say, so God does know that in the day that you should eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you should be as gods, knowing good and evil. Remember, they were already created in God's image and already created in God's likeness. Okay? And the woman, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and was it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof. So what did she do first? Before she ate it, she touched it. Nothing happened. Remember, he said, "It the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." She said, "The day you eat of it, neither shall you eat it, nor shall you touch it." So when she touched it, nothing happened. Okay, nothing happened. So she touched it first, and then she did eat. And when she ate, do you notice nothing still happened up to that point? Even after she ate it, nothing happened. Why? Because God gave the instructions to Adam. The covenant was with Adam. Because remember, Eve wasn't even created yet. Y'all see that? She wasn't created yet. Now, when her husband, who was standing right there, that's why he said, your husband, you have to cultivate her, but you also have to protect her. And sometimes you got to protect her from herself. He did eat, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Why did they do that? Because now they're ashamed. But do you realize that in order for them, they had to already been naked all along? If you go back and read the last verse in chapter 2, it says, verse 25, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. So what happened between verse 26 and then the next verse? They partook of the fruit. They broke the commandment that God gave them. Now, what did they do? They yielded themselves to the enemy. And what happened? What did he do when they yielded to them? He now was able to possess the authority that they once had. See, that's why Jesus had to come back and get the keys of death, hell, and the grave, because when Adam bowed his knee, he surrendered that authority to his adversary. That's the thief. Do y'all see that? So what did Jesus do? What did God do about that? God said, oh, man, what am I going to do now? He already had a plan. And this is what he said. Verse 20 says, and Adam gave... not that verse. He goes to a plan and he said this. He says, verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee. It's God talking to Satan. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. In other words, you're going to bruise his heel. You're going to inflict pain on his physical body, but in doing so, he's going to crush your head. In other words, he's going to crush your authority that you have. When he crushes the authority, Isaiah chapter 9, real quick. Why Jesus? Isaiah chapter 9, you hear this a lot during Christmas time, but this is what this is what Jesus' purpose was. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice, from this forth for even forever. So what is he doing? He's coming back. God spoke him in existence in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. But then he says, this is why he's going to come. He's going to come to do what? Reestablish the kingdom of God. When he says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, that the message that Jesus, the first message that Jesus taught, the only message Jesus taught was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, before Jesus ever came on the scene, this is the message that John the Baptist proclaimed. Repent and be baptized. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist was the forerunner for Jesus Christ. Malachi 3 talks about he was the messenger who went before him. He says, repent and be baptized. He says, he is the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way. Why? Because the one who's coming behind me, he is going to be the light. In John chapter 1, verse 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He says that that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That what was the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us? Jesus Christ. What was his purpose? To cover, in Luke chapter 19 says, his purpose was to come to seek and save. That word save, there is sozo, means to heal, deliver, make whole, and protect those who were lost. He also came to reestablish the kingdom of God and for the remission of sin. Because remember, sin was the reason why Satan had an opportunity to be able to take authority in the kingdom. When Jesus paid the price for the sin, guess what? Satan no longer has a claim to it because the price has been paid. Do y'all see that? What's the easiest way to say that? John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17 says, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but through his son he might save it, heal it, deliver it, protect it, make it whole. That's why Jesus had to come. That's why we celebrate Easter. All right, that's why we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. Jesus came to give us back life. Jesus came back so that we could he could reestablish the kingdom. Jesus came back to pay the sin debt. If he only went to the cross and didn't do it, the kingdom part of it, none of it would have mattered. Because you would still be operating according to the kingdom of darkness. That's why when you get born again, the first thing you need to do is begin to renew your mind. Because if you don't renew your mind, even though you save, sanctify, filled with the Holy Ghost, you will still operate according to the world system, and you will still have the same troubles that you had before. That's why you renew your mind by the Word of God. But Jesus came to get back what Adam surrendered. If you go home and read Romans chapter 5, it talks about the exact same thing. Adam bowed his knee, sin was passed on to all men. Jesus came, paid the price, took that sin. Now, the devil doesn't have any authority over you. He can't make you sin no more than I can come and rob your pockets. The only way he can get you to sin is if you yield yourself to him and then go out there and willfully do it. But you can't ever say again that the devil made you do it. Because he couldn't make Adam sin. He can't make you sin. And you have as much authority, more so than what Adam had. Amen? So, Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise, and thank you for this opportunity in your word. Thank you, Father God, for the sending your son, Jesus, that we might have life in abundance to the full until it overflows. That your kingdom is being reestablished, that your will may be done in earth just as it is in heaven. And wherever mindful of you, be the glory, honor, and praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.